Taking a 1 week break from John. We're going to go back to the first book in the Bible, Genesis. I'm going to start with chapter 29, verse 15. Let's hear the inspired word of the living God. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my kinsman, you should therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me what your wages shall be. Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah. The name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, 'I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel.' Laban said, 'It is better that I give her to you than I should give her to any other man. Stay with me.' So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, 'Give me my wife, that I might go to her, for my time is completed.' So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. Laban gave his female servant Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be her servant. And in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And Jacob said to Laban, 'What is this you have done to me? Did I not serve you for Rachel? Why then have you deceived me?' Laban said, 'It is not so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week with this one, and we will give you the other also in return for serving me another 7 years.' So Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel to be his wife. Laban gave his female servant Bilhah to his daughter Rachel to be her servant. So Jacob went into Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served Laban for another 7 years." May God add his blessing to the hearing of this portion of his word. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you would be our instructor, your Holy Spirit that inspired these words. You would apply them to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is a special day, Mother's Day. It's not a religious holiday. It was popularized by the greeting card companies. But try and do a sermon on Mother's Day on any other book of the Bible and see how it works out for you. But it wasn't just the greeting card companies that thought of this, because God thought of it several thousand years before that in one of the commandments. He says, "Honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you." So in a way, every day is Father's Day and every day is Mother's Day. So, but we are setting aside a special day to honor those people. And sometimes you will go and you'll hear a sermon about great mothers like Susanna Wesley, who had 17 kids and taught them all Greek before the time they were knee-high, and if you up your game, you can be just like Susanna Wesley, and they lay a guilt trip on all the mothers out in the congregation, or Hannah or Mary or some of the other mothers in the Bible. But the one that has always captivated me in Scripture is somebody that I think demonstrates the true essence of what it is to be a mother. And we've just read about her, and that's Leah. A lot of motherhood that's involved with motherhood is basically putting yourself last. When we hear of a mother that hasn't eaten so that her kids can eat, that is perfectly normal. We expect that's what a mother would do. That's nothing out of the ordinary. Or people that would would elevate their kids and go without something else they thought was important. That is motherhood. So before we dig in and study a little bit about Leah, I want to give you some background. Jacob of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob and Esau, the two brothers. He was the second born in that family. Esau was the firstborn. And we see the name Jacob means swindler or supplanter. And he was good to his name. He lived up to it entirely, because with the collaboration of his mom, who liked him better, he was able to swindle his brother Esau out of his birth right and out of his father's blessing. He was able to get that through deception. And he got his brother so mad that his brother wanted to kill him, so he was fleeing for his life. And as he was fleeing, he came upon his homeland, where his ancestors had come from, and it was time for him to take a wife. And so he thought, I like this one that I have discovered, Rachel. I will go to her dad and make a bargain. How may I have her as a wife? And we find that God, in this whole process, had engineered a circumstance to pay him back many times over for his swindling. It's a closed system. The things you do to others, God does to you, and he brings it back around. You can't, if you notice something that people always seem to be doing to you, take a look in the rearview mirror. Look up and see, is there anything in your own behavior that God is using them to teach you about? He has a closed system, and he is... God is getting ready to give Jacob a taste of his own medicine. He comes in and he sees Rachel. That's the one he wants. And he agrees to a price, 7 years labor, and he gets Rachel. Now, Rachel is the second born. Jacob is the second born. And we see that on his wedding night, he finds out that in this other country he's gone to, they really do honor the birthright. And the one he has gone to will not deviate from giving away the second born when the first one is the one that gets married. So right away, Jacob bumps up against something that he has violated in his own household. And we see that Laban, the father, is more of a swindler than Jacob could ever be. We see that Leah, the name Leah, means weary. And we're told Rachel was the cute one. We're told that Leah had weak eyes. In other words, if Rachel was a 10, Leah was probably a 4. She was not pretty. She did not have looks in her favor. And Jacob wanted the cute one. He didn't want Leah. Now, we find out that Leah was substituted by Laban on the wedding night. And weddings were usually merry occasions. Who knows why he didn't recognize her, but he woke up the next morning, and he sure did. He says, and it was Leah. He imagined his surprise. But let's look at it from Leah's standpoint. Imagine being used by your own father to swindle a man out of a second 7 years' labor. And then 1 week later, when your honeymoon was over, your sister that he loved more than you moved in and was part of your family and had and was competing for affection with your new husband. Sometimes life just doesn't seem fair. You go through, and who would have imagined that she was assaulted from so many different directions? People were not fair with Leah. But we see, if you look around and you think God is not fair in some aspect of your life, verse 31 will fix it for you. It says, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bore a son and called his name Reuben, which means look a son. For she said, behold, the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. So she thinks that by having a child, now all of a sudden the switch will get turned and now her husband will love her. Nothing could be further from the truth. She now has a child and she still has a husband that doesn't love her. So she tries it again. He conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he's given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon, which means heard. Names are important in all of this. And then a third time, she conceived and bore a son. And now this time my husband will be attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore, his name shall be called Levi, which means accompanied. So now she's had three children, and she thinks just because she's had three children with this guy, that now all of a sudden he will love her. Nothing could be further from the truth. And so at last, verse 35, she conceived again and bore a son and said, this time I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah, which means praise God. Here is her transformation from being a man pleaser to a God pleaser. If you look for your affirmation from other people, you will always be disappointed. If you look for your affirmation from the Lord, you will never be disappointed. He is where we need to go to get our affirmation. If we look horizontally, you can always find somebody that is smarter, prettier, whatever have you, and you will have people, sometimes they will say great things, sometimes they will say bad things about you. But if that's where you look, if you look outward, you will always be disappointed. And finally, she realizes that she gets her affirmation from the Lord. She makes her transformation from being a man pleaser to a God pleaser. And then it says, then she ceased bearing. Who knows why? Maybe it's because when she quit looking to him for affirmation, he quit looking to her for companionship. But we see that at least temporarily she ceased bearing. And then the cute one, Rachel, saw that she bore Jacob no children, and she envied her sister. She said to Jacob, give me children or I shall die. Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel, and he said, am I in the place of God who has withdrawn from you the fruit of your womb? And now the one-upsmanship begins. We see she came up with a fix. She will loan Jacob her maidservant, and he let him raise up children in her name through her maidservant. This was the same fix that Sarah did with Abraham to try and help God out, help them produce an heir. And so then she said, here's my servant Bilhah, go to her and she may give birth on my behalf, that even I may have children through her. And Rachel said, God has judged me and has heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore, she called his name Dan, which means judged. And then Rachel's servant conceived again and bore a second son. And then Rachel said, with my wrestlings, I have wrestled with my sister and have prevailed. So she called his name Naphtali, which means wrestling. Well, not to be undone, not to be outdone, Leah also loaned her husband her handmaid. And her handmaid produced two children, Zilpah. Then Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son, and Leah said, good fortune has come. So she named his name Gad, which means good fortune. And then Zilpah bore a second son, and Leah said, happy am I, for women have called me happy. So she named his name Asher, which means happy. So we're up to 10 kids now. No, we're up to 8. There's still more to come. Now we get down to the drug deal. In verse 14, in the days of wheat harvest, Reuben went around and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. But she said, is it a small matter that you've taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also? So Rachel said, then he may lie with you tonight in exchange for your son's mandrakes. This gives you some insight into Rachel's character. She would give up her husband for some good drugs. Mandrakes, we don't get what mandrakes are, but they, in their sap, they produce alkaloids, which are, if you're a pharmacist, these would be Schedule C narcotics. These are the stuff that you keep well controlled. These would be similar to... some of the derivatives are atropine, scopine, and various strong drugs that are from the mandrakes, and that's what she was trading in exchange for her husband for a night. So then Jacob came in from the field, and Leah came to him and said, met him and said, you must come to me, for I have hired you for my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night, and God listened to Leah, and she conceived and bore Jacob a fifth son. She said, God has given me my wages because I gave my servant to my husband. So she called his name Issachar, which means paid service. And afterwards, she conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, God has endowed me with good endowment. Now my husband will honor me, and I have borne him 6 sons. So she called his name Zebulun, which means habitation. There is more dysfunctional family in this family than probably any place else in Scripture. If you're a psychology major, you can go right here and find just about anything you want to find. A good example in the inner workings, the jealousy, the hurts, all of the pain, you can find it all here. And then finally, afterwards, she bore a daughter. Child number 7. 7 is the biblical number of perfection. She gets the girl. It took me 3. We got the girl. They got, and afterwards she bore a daughter and called her name Dinah, which means vindicated. So Leah had 7 children by herself. And then the Bible tells us God remembered Rachel. God listened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bore a son. God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph, which means may he add, saying, may the Lord add to me another son. We're up to 11 children. And Jacob is finally tired of all the scheming and double dealing of his father-in-law and decides to leave. And they agree with a payment for all the labor he's done. His father, he says, how about I just take the spotted ones and the ones that have marks on it, and you keep all the perfectly pure ones. And that night Laban went through and culled out all the spotted and marked ones and gave them to his other sons. And so when Laban went to collect, there was nothing there to collect. And so through various back and forth things that they did, Jacob was finally able to leave with some livestock. But he left in a hurry because he wasn't sure how that was going to work out. So he left, and Jacob arose, set his sons and wives on camels. He drove away all the livestock, all his property he had gained. Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel stole her father's household gods. This is another window into Rachel's character. She wasn't a believer in the God of Israel. She was going after all her father's homemade gods that they were doing. And Jacob tricked Laban by not telling him that he intended to flee, and left and set his face toward the country of Gilead. So all of a sudden, Jacob decides he's going to try and be reconciled to his brother. In Genesis 33:4, it says, but Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And then when Esau saw all of the wives and children that Jacob had brought, he was amazed. But as Jacob presented them all, it was Jacob and Rachel in the back of the pack, the place of safety, and they bowed down. He put Rachel in the most protected position, so that was still the apple of his eye. Don't measure a life half done. Don't start in the middle and look back and see all of the bad things that have happened. God is able to straighten things up. Here is the rest of the story. God tells Jacob to go back to Bethel. And then the angel of God said to him in a dream, Jacob, here I am. And he said, lift up your eyes and see all the goats, for I have seen all that Jacob is doing to you. For I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. Now arise, go from this land and return to the land of your kindred. And God led him out of there. And then he camped at the night and he wrestled with God and prevailed. And God named his name from Jacob, which is swindler, to Israel, which means God contends. That is his transformation in his life. On the way out of there, we see that Rachel, the apple of his eye, is expecting again, and she dies in childbirth outside of Bethlehem. And here's another little picture. Rachel gives up her life so that her baby Benjamin can live. There is another one who grew up outside of Bethlehem that gave up his life so that we might all live. Leah. So Rachel dies, the cute one dies, and Leah, despised Leah, winds up having to raise her child, Benjamin. So the result, she wasn't the cute one. She wasn't the loved one. She wasn't the favored one. She wasn't even the husband that her own husband, I mean, the wife that her own husband desired. He didn't pick her. God did. But she was the one that you could count on. She was the one that was always there. She was the one that did the tough jobs, did the ones nobody wanted, and she was there. So if you look in history, if there was no Leah, there would be no Levi. That's one of her sons. Levi, if there was no Levi, there would be no Moses leading them out of Egypt. There would be no Aaron, his brother. There would be no first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses. You can chop that off. There would be no prophet Isaiah. He comes through one of her four sons, Judah. There would be no prophet Isaiah. There would be no Jeremiah. He comes through Levi. You can cut that one out. You can chop out the book of Ezra because he comes out of Levi. So that one's gone. There would be no Judah, no David, no Psalms. There would be no Proverbs, no Ecclesiastes, no Song of Solomon, or David, no Solomon, no line of David, no Jesus, no salvation, no Redeemer. All gone if there were no Leah. And then we see she finally had to raise Benjamin, which was Rachel's last born. If there were no Benjamin, there would be no Paul, no Barnabas, no epistles in the New Testament, no gospel going to the Gentiles. Large chunks of redemptive history would be missing if there were never the woman that Jacob didn't want, that God gave him to as a wife anyway. God taught him a lesson. God changed his heart. And we see in the final days his burial instructions. He says, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah to the east of Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with a field from Ephron the Hittite to possess as a burying place, there they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. The one that gets buried next to him is the one he didn't want, but who did all of the hard work, and God blessed her anyway. Happy Mother's Day. May we pray. Father, you have used mothers to do some very difficult jobs. They've cleaned up after us. They've nurtured us when we were sick. They've done a lot of the really distasteful things. But you've used them. And we thank you, and I pray this day that you would help us to honor them. In Jesus' name, amen.